strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking, it was done.
You're listening to the Green Pastures with Jesus podcast, the audio home of Shepherd of the Lakes Lutheran Church, located in lovely Fairmont, Minnesota. You found your daily home for a few minutes with Jesus, including a Monday and Thursday in-depth study podcast and the occasional Saturday bonus episode. I'm your host, Pastor Peter Hagen. Today we've got our daily Bible reading, so take a deep breath and let's hear what God has to say. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Christ, our Lord and our eternal Redeemer, as we follow you and share in your sufferings, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we subdue the old self to the new, and the new self to you, and at last share the glory of your resurrection through your mercy. O our God, you are blessed, and live and govern all things now and forever. Amen. Today's Bible reading comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. What a comforting passage, a comforting chapter. Speaking to Christians, first one, finally, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now do this more and more. Right there you have sanctified Christian living in a nutshell. You are living in order to please God. And so Paul says he doesn't have to go back and revisit and really address their sins straightforward. But he says you're on the right path. You're living a godly life. You're living a sanctified life. So do this more and more. Like, keep it up, you know? This is the God that we serve. The God who delights in the good life that you lead. Not that he needed it to pay for sin, because that is entirely complete in Jesus, but he has called you to live a holy life. Verse 7, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. And so, in the opening portions of this chapter, Paul really addresses sexual sin as one of the problems and one of the temptations that was very prevalent in that area, and really very prevalent at every age throughout history and at every place throughout the world, because it happens to be a particular snare that can ruin lives and the sort of sin that will multiply itself. And a lot of times, you know, as we have here and as we recognize in our own culture, it's the sort of sin that is accepted as a mainstream thing. And when Paul says each of you should learn to control his body in a way that is holy and honorable, that just seems so totally, totally opposed to the way the world thinks. The way the world thinks is to say, well, if you have this urge and you have this feeling and you have this desire, then act on it. And you should have the freedom to act on it. And you should have the freedom to do whatever you want with whomever you want. It used to be the temptation, well, don't worry, it's not hurting anyone. Research has shown that even private sexual sin hurts everyone. And so the world pushes back the boundary and says, well, even if it does hurt others, let's not think about that. Let's not talk about that. And Paul flips that on its head. He says, that's sin. Every bit of sexual activity outside of the marriage that God has instituted is sin. And you have been called to live a holy life, as you are doing. God did not call you to be impure, but to live a holy life. And so he says, well, verse 9, let's love one another as we encourage one another to live more and more in this godly life. Let us remember to love one another. That is to encourage the weak, to help the hurting, to speak up for the helpless, to love one another by demonstrating the love of Christ and by pointing them back to the love of Christ. And once, you know, somebody who has fallen into sin, once that person repents and returns to faith, we love them by saying, welcome back. God has called you to live a holy life. And yes, it does matter. Even, especially when the world says it doesn't, God still says it does matter. So keep it up. Live this holy life more and more. And then the second, really half of this chapter, verses 13 and following, is this beautiful text that is very often used at funerals or used during the season of end times. I think I've used it at the majority of funerals that I've conducted, at least as a scripture reading, if I haven't preached on it. Look at verse 13, talking about Christians. We do not grieve like everyone else. When a loved one passes away who is a Christian, yeah, we grieve, but it's not this hopeless grief of never seeing them again, or this nebulous hope that tries to speak in such lovely rainbow terms of glitter and butterflies, but is totally disconnected from any sort of reality. The Christian knows Jesus died and rose again. Jesus died. And since Jesus died and rose again, the Christians who die in this world simply fall asleep. Look at the contrast. God never speaks of a Christian as dying. He simply speaks of them falling asleep. And the Jesus who did die, the Jesus who suffered hell for you and for me, the Jesus who has conquered death, who has who rules right now with all things under his feet, that Jesus will one day come knocking on that grave door and saying, dear child, get up. Come enjoy your master's happiness. With the voice of the archangel, with the loud command, with the trumpet call of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. They will come out of their graves. God promises a reunion. God promises life forever. A life that, for those believers right now, goes on with him in heaven. That we don't see, but it's there. And that life that is there now will be restored and carried out and lived out for all eternity with the body that is buried or cremated here. When Jesus returns and says, wake up, arise, O sleeper, wake up from the dead. And we who are still alive, if Jesus comes back during your lifetime or mine, we're going to be watching the greatest fireworks display the world has ever seen, as the graves of Christians split open in glory. as our sinful bodies are transformed to be like his glorious body, as Christians are reunited around the throne of God. And so, in this way, and in this form, we will be with the Lord forever, body and soul. You see, every time, or at least almost every time, I'd have to look a little bit more closely, but almost every time that the Bible speaks about the resurrection in the New Testament, it also speaks about the way we use our bodies before the resurrection, or vice versa. The way the Bible talks about sexual morality and immorality in the New Testament is also followed up by the fact that Christ has redeemed you body and soul. So Paul says, Jesus has called you to live a holy life, and the body that you have now will be raised and stand before Christ in all glory for all eternity. And yes, it will be absolutely sinless and pure and holy, and the blood of Jesus has washed away every sin. But having that picture in mind, just look at your hands. Look in the mirror. That same face, those same hands, singing, shouting, clapping, praising God forever in heaven. Is there any space for the Christian to defend sexual immorality? And for the Christian who may be struggling with this specific temptation, particularly thinking of the young people in our culture, in our world, in our church body, especially those either before marriage or early into marriage. It tends to be a particular temptation for younger people, and especially those who have not yet been married. Please pray for them. And Paul says, look what he says, encourage each other with these words. The words here of 1 Thessalonians 4 apply just as much at a funeral as they do on Easter Sunday, as they do when a Christian confesses his or her private sexual sin. And they apply just as much to the young Christian who is trying so hard to lead a godly life in a world full of temptation. And to all this, Paul speaks the same. You have been called to live a holy life, and this is what you are doing. So keep it up. Do it more and more. Because you know that our Lord Jesus will return soon. And you have the opportunity now to honor God with your body and to encourage one another with these words. So go ahead. Honor God. If it's something that you're struggling with, recognize the sin for what it is. Don't fall prey to the lies of Satan. And recognize that Jesus has set you free from that. Let us encourage one another in every aspect and every stage of life, whether the temptations of youth or the temptations of older age, whether the worry and the temptation of sexual sin as present in our society, or whether the worry or the anxiety or the sadness of grief. To both of these, God says, your Lord is coming soon. The Christian who has died is only fallen asleep. Jesus will wake them up. But as for you, God has called you to live a holy life. He has not called us to be impure, but to honor him. So let us do so with our bodies and with our words of encouragement. God bless your day. We'll close with this hymn for all the saints, a recording from Martin Luther College Chapel. I found the audio on YouTube, and so it's about, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes, and really speaks about the joy of that last day. And a lot of the verses pull from the imagery here of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's hymn either 550 or 551 in Christian worship, For All the Saints.